and mean it, because I know he'll bring you through it. I know that he'll make a way for you. It may not turn around tonight, but one night the morning is going to come. Oh yeah, weeping may endure for a night or two or three nights, but joy, I'm looking for it, comes in the morning. Hallelujah. He said, when you're strengthened, he says, when it's done, when you're converted, strengthen your brother. Now, when you look at the word converted, it is the word epistripo, which means to turn around. He said, when things turn around for you, when things turn around, when you turn around, when your mind is changed, the Bible said we ought to, with the renewing of our mind, we ought to have a.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT, praising the Lord.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II. One church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in reverence to God. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, now as we turn our attention to your word, let the Holy Ghost do as only he can through the text. Let him tailor the teaching that we have before us today to meet each one of us right where we are, and then lift us to the place you'd have us to be. For your glory and our good, in Jesus' name we pray. The people of God said, amen. I want you to turn your Bibles, if you will, to the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 14, beginning at verse 1. St. Mark, chapter 14, beginning at verse 1. Recorded are these words. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she broke the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. Verse 6 says, and Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She had wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. Verse 8 says, she had done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearers, and more especially the doers of his holy word. I love the response of Jesus to the naysayers and to the haters and to those who did not love him like she did. He said, first of all, leave her alone. And my brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you, Jesus knows who's picking on you, who's picking at you, who's talking about you, and who's talking down upon you. And I'm here to tell you, you don't have to come to your own defense. He'll make them leave you alone. But the focus is not just on that. My real focus is on what he said about her. And it was this, that in verse 8, she had done what she could. And for just a little while today, I want to talk about do what you can. Do what you can. You see, there are those of us in ministry work who look at positions and people in positions, and we many times make judgment calls either about the positions or the people in positions. And then we look at our own lives, and because we may or may not be able to fulfill the requirements of that position, we think instead of doing what we can, we'll just do nothing. And my brothers and sisters, one of the things that you've got to realize is that God knows who you are. God knows what you are capable of doing. And God knows whether or not you are doing it. And one of the things that I think is so important from this lesson as we begin to unfold the truths before us is to help us understand that there's no one in the body of Christ who has an excuse for not doing something. When I look around our church and see the thousands that are in our church, and yet, don't fool yourself, all of the work of the church is not done inside the church. So I don't want you to get fixed on being a part of an inside ministry, because if we tell the truth, the greatest work of the church is not inside the church, but outside. Out of 132 contacts with humans in the New Testament scriptures, we will find that only 10 of the contacts were inside what we call the synagogue or the temple. 122 other contacts were outside. I've shared this with you so many times before. And so when you recognize the real work of the church is to be done outside of the walls of our ministry. And so when we begin to look at God calling us into place and calling us into position, because the Bible says, Jesus said, occupy till I come. He's made clear that he is coming back again. And his desire would be to see each and every person in the body of Christ busily doing what they can do. Do you know, no matter who you are, the person who may be doing the most in ministry, no matter whether this ministry is the one that they're focusing on or what other ministry they may be a part of, no matter how many things they may be doing, no matter how many hats they may be wearing, no matter how many ministries they may be juggling, one of the things that each one of them will tell you is, I can't do it all. But while you have some who are doing all of these different things who say, I can't do it all, there are some who are still not doing anything. And yet they think that they cannot be useful because they can't do what is considered spotlight ministry. I got news for you. The greatest ministry work is not always in the spotlight. It's behind closed doors. It's behind the dark scenes. It's behind the cameras. It's behind all the stages that those who are on the stage are operating in. Do you know, for one man to be on stage, it takes many people behind the stage to illuminate, to capture, to set in order, and to make things look well on stage. And so don't think that one who may be spotlighted is doing it all by him or herself. Let's go to the text, because I want you to see. There are three things that these verses are going to reveal to us from verses 3 to 9. First is going to reveal, I'll just give you the outline just in case I don't make it. One, it reveals the woman's devotion. The woman's devotion, that's found in verse 3. But also you're going to find in verses 4 and 5, the disciples' reaction. And then when you go to verses 6 through 9, you're going to find the Lord's emotion. Now let's walk back up, if you will, to the woman's devotion in verse 3. The Bible says, "And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she broke the box and poured it on his head." It is suggested that this is one of the Marys. That was one Mary who was known as a prostitute who had been delivered by the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's another Mary who had been filled with seven demons, and she had been delivered by the ministry of Jesus. John records in the 12th chapter another Mary who came with spikenard, very precious ointment, and instead of pouring it on his head like this woman did, she poured it on his feet and wiped it off with her hair. And John gives an account also of another woman who gave all she had to show her devotion to her Lord and Savior. But as Mark speaks of this, I want you to see he lifts out the costliness of her devotion. The costliness. And I want to say this to you, lest you fool yourself. It cost you something to be devoted. Let me say that again. I said it cost you something to be devoted. And in order to be devoted, it's going to require that is precious to you, that you uphold as significant in value and significant in worth. It is many times those things that you desire and that you hold in great esteem the most that may be utilized in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, that your devotion may have to pay to do your part. In other words, when you really are devoted to the Lord, no matter how good you've got it, no matter how much stuff you've got, none of it is too good for the Lord. And if the Lord has need of it, you will use it, you will utilize it, you will give it willingly because of your devotion to Him. Devotion costs you something. But I want you to see this, because the word says right here clearly in the text. The Bible says, "There came a woman having," in verse 3, "an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard." Very precious means very costly. It means sublime. An alabaster box, again, representing the packaging that it came in. And I've shared this with you before. I just want to run this back over for your sake of refreshment. Cheap perfume come in cheap boxes. And it's packaged differently. You can always tell before you ever even get to the fragrance if it's cheap or not by the packaging. Have I got a witness in the house? And it's one thing if you get the eau de toilette, or you get the perfume. Now let me say that the contents are connected to different ingredients that support the sustaining of the fragrance. When you get the cheaper version, you got to spray a lot of it on. You know. And not very long afterwards, the scent is gone. But with the rich stuff that's oil-based, notice the word said ointment, because it has an oil base which causes the fragrance to last long. Just a little, the ladies know what I'm talking about. You ain't got to put it on but a couple, three places. And when you walk through the house, when you walk through the room, When you walk to wherever you're going, even after you've passed, the fragrance just... Wish I had a witness in the house. The expensive stuff tends to linger and give its fragrance in a lasting session. So that even after the person is gone, the fragrance that person, as a matter of fact, they can go all day long. And then if you see them in the eve of the day, and you're like, ooh, what's that fragrance you have on? Many times, if they've got many good bottles of it, they might forget what they've gotten on because their noses adjust to the fragrance. And to you, it smells like they just put it on. But it's been on all day and it's still... As a matter of fact, even when you get ready to take it to the cleaners, it might be a week later and you pick it up and gather it up to put in the cleaner, and the fragrance is still... Some of y'all don't know nothing about what I'm talking about right now. I understand that. But I want you to know you get what you pay for. And that's why you don't have to take... See, the good stuff lasts long. I might want to tell you that too. Because you don't have to put a little dab of dew, and so it lasts a long, long, long time. It cost her for her devotion. But not only was there the costliness of her devotion, but I want you to see the recklessness of her devotion. You see, sometimes your devotion to Christ might be reckless to others. It might not make sense, but that's why you've got to be focused on Him and be in tune to Him and be careful about His opinion and not others' opinion. See, it's all right to be reckless for your devotion to the Lord, because the Lord knows what it costs you and the Lord knows your motive. And when your recklessness is to His devotion, God has no problem with it. Why would it be considered reckless? I'll tell you why. And because the issues that the others had was because of this woman's recklessness. One, because she did not, listen at this, spare any of it. She did not save any of it. She used it all on Jesus. Look at the text. Let's go back. I want you to see this because it's important. The Bible says at the end of verse 3, and she broke the box and poured it on His head. The inference here is that she did not uncap it, untop it. She did not remove it safely so as to put the cap back on and spare some and save some. She broke it as so to say, this is not going to be spared or saved or put up for later. I'm doing it for Him and for Him alone. And so it was reckless to them when they knew if she just wanted to bless Him with a little bit, a little dab would have done. And so they thought her devotion was reckless. You know, sometimes, my brothers and sisters, people want you to give the Lord a little bit. Now, they want everything from you, but they want you to give the Lord a little bit. It's all right for you to want everything you want from the Lord, but when the Lord wants something for you, it's all right just to give Him a little. It don't take all of that. Well, does it? Well, see, it depends on your level of devotion. Because if your level of devotion is where it ought to be, it might cost you, like the widow, all that she had. When she cast in her two mites, she wasn't concerned about who was looking. But Jesus was looking. And He was recording. And He made it clear that though this woman threw in all that she had, which was only two mites, she gave in more in the treasure than they that gave of their abundance, because her devotion was costly. It cost her everything. This woman's devotion was costly. It cost her everything. And her devotion was reckless because she wasn't saving anything for later. She was giving all she had now. I think that's a helpful, holy hint for us, because too many times we hold back on the Lord. And we hold back expecting or supposing that we'll have another chance. But did you not know, and scripture and history revealed, that this was this woman's only chance to do all she could for the Lord? How many of you know in a worship service, in a specific situation, in an opportunity God places you in, that that will not be your last opportunity to give all you can? And yet we half step, or we don't recklessly give everything we have. Because here's what you know: if you're doing it for the Lord and you need more, the same God that gave you that will give you more to do more with. So you ought not have to worry about saving some and sparing some. Give him your all. Give him your best. And the Lord will be honored. But I want you to see that she had devotion. But the disciples' reaction in verses 4 and 5, I need you to see. Because here it reveals their mentality. The disciples' mentality. Why is that important to understand? Because the mentality reveals the perpetual framework of our thinking. In other words, it literally reveals whether you think inside or outside of the box, whether you think in traditional terms or non-traditional terms. It reveals where your thought processes lie, how they operate, and what level they operate on. Let's look at their mentality, because the Bible says in verse 4, if you will, and there were some, not all of them now, that had indignation within themselves. I, as pastor, many times as I look over the congregation, I can see folk who have indignation in themselves. And listen at this, because everybody didn't have an issue with what she did, but some folk did. And you know what that says to me? That whenever you do whatever you got to do for the Lord, there are going to be some haters sitting back there, some folk who wouldn't do it if they had the same opportunity to do it. They might have given him some, but they wouldn't have given it all. They may have uncapped it and put a few drops on him, but they wouldn't have broken the bottle and poured it on his head, because their heart was not in the same place. Their mentality was not in the same place. They didn't have a relationship or a fellowship or an appreciation for the ministry that he had unto her, as these men said in themselves in a manner of indignation, what reason did she have to waste this precious ointment, listen at this, on Jesus? Now, my brothers and sisters, I want you to be clear about it. There are some people right in the church of God who don't think that the Lord deserves their best. They'd rather give their best to man. They'd rather give their best to a job. They'd rather give their best to a loved one. They'd rather give their best to themselves, their flesh, their passion. They'd rather give their best to anything and anybody else but the Lord. There are some people who don't believe that God deserves your best, and they're right there in the crowd. Listen to this. He said this to his own disciples, people who followed him. And I've got issues with that, still do. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Why would you follow folk who you can't love and give your true devotion to as a follower? Because when you say anything bad about them, you say worse about yourself. I tell in counseling messages with people who are counseling, listen, you can't talk about the person that you are connected with without talking about yourself. If you're going to stay, you ought not say anything that's foolish. Because the one who's listening to the foolish talk knows that the talk is more foolish coming from the one who's talking. Y'all will catch that on your way home. Because you're the fool if you're going to stay there and still talk about it, still act that way about them, because it's coming back to you. I thought y'all might get quiet at this point. They're following Jesus. They don't count him worthy of some spikenard ointment. This man is about to give his life
for each one of them. And that's considered a waste. You can see where their mentality is. But you also got to recognize it's all relevant. Because you can't expect a person who has never been to a certain level and doesn't aspire to go to another level to understand how folk on other levels work. In other words, a man that makes $100 a week can't understand the spending patterns of a man who makes $1,000 a week. Nor would it make sense for him to buy the things that a man that makes $1,000 a week make. That's foolishness to him. His resources don't support that kind of thinking. A man that buys shoes for $49 can't understand a man buying shoes for $490. That don't make no sense. He's crazy. You could buy a suit, a tie, a shirt. You can buy, matter of fact, you buy two suits, three shirts, four, five ties. Matter of fact, you can get three suits. Listen to me well. I'm trying to help you understand. But all three suits would never fit like one suit that's been custom made for the price, because they fit a general pattern. But a custom made one is customized to your own body type. And so what doesn't fit right in a regular suit, they compensate for it in a custom suit. So sometimes it costs you more to look the way you want to look. Y'all can get quiet all you want. I'm trying to help somebody. Listen at this, because I want you to see this. They could not understand why this woman, 300 pence represented 300 days of pay. A penny a day. 300 days of pay wasted on Jesus with this reckless, costly devotion. Didn't make sense to them. Their mentality revealed they could not fathom that. But something else I want you to see. It also revealed their carnality. See, they were more concerned about the secular than they were the sacred. They could not grasp, they could not focus on the things that Jesus himself had said and what he was preparing for being carnal-minded, fleshly-minded, looking at the stuff only in the natural. And so it revealed their carnality. And any time God wants to do something supernatural and is made clear in a business meeting, you can always tell who's spiritual and who's secular. Because the revealed mentality will show whether or not you are functioning on a spiritual level or a secular level. The spiritual level is a higher place of thinking, a higher place of operation. It operates in the faith realm. That means in the carnality of man's own thought patterns, it may not seem logical, it may not seem rational, it may not seem reasonable to do it in the natural realm that way. But one thing you got to realize, if you're talking about God's business, then you are again privy to know that God has the power and the provisions to bring about the plans he has for his own business. And while you may have short, limited resources, God has unlimited resources to do whatever he wants done in the earth realm. That's why when you look at it and say, we don't have enough money for it, somebody in the spirit realm say, but God does. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell, the cattle on a thousand hills, the silver and the gold. If it's all his, then why is there a shortage then? It's not a shortage of his resources. It's a shortage of your mentality and your carnality functioning only in the natural realm, not allowing you to move, function, and flow in the supernatural realm. But I want you to see as we move on further, as we get another sketch, we see the woman's devotion, we see the disciples' reaction, but let's look at the Lord's emotion. Let's go at verse 6 if you don't mind. Bible says, and Jesus said, let her alone. I tell you, I could have just shouted right there. Let her alone. Yes, sir. Now, listen to this. Everybody didn't say everything.